Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. And welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime is live and clocking in at 6:02 here to kick off your week the right way here. Tanner Carson and Cole McCormick along with you. Tag teaming it here on this. It's turning into like an overcast evening out here in beautiful East Tennessee. Cole McCormick, how was your weekend, sir? You had a three-day weekend because
I
had to take Friday off. I don't think there's enough people actually available to do the show, so you just parlayed that into a three-day weekend.
We did.
How was it?
It was good. This is one of the first weekends in a while where I did absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
I seriously laid around, watched TV, and ate real good both Saturday and Sunday. And I'll tell you what, it was fantastic.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Sometimes you need a completely hedonistic weekend.
I did.
And it looks like that's what you did.
I did.
I did similar stuff.
Did you?
Did a whole lot of nothing.
Okay.
Whole lot of nothing. Girlfriend came into town and just me and her just hung out. Basically.
Okay.
So that was pretty much it. I went out Saturday night, hung out with some friends as well and all that. So it was a pretty chill weekend. So, yeah, you cannot complain about that. But another week getting started here, back on the grind, back on the time clock here. And leading into this today, Tennessee got some good news. They also got some not good news, too. We'll get to that later. But do the positive first. Tennessee did get good news on the 2020 recruiting trail today. Tennessee lands a commitment from a JUCO defensive back, Art Green, out of Hutchinson County Community College up there in Hutchinson, Kansas. Been a school that's put out products such as Cordell Patterson. Did Kamara? I don't think Kamara did. Kamara did go there. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Hutchinson has been good to Tennessee.
Hutchinson, very good at churning out some pretty damn good products for Tennessee Volunteers this day.
Arguably some of the best athletes Tennessee's had in the last 10 years.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You had them help you on the offensive side of the ball here. And now you hope that Hutchinson can help you on the defensive side of the ball once 2020 rolls around here. Art Green, 6'2", 200 pounds. And currently doesn't have any ratings when you go over to the 247 composite, but don't they do the JUCO a little differently when it comes to, like, rating them?
They do.
He's got fantastic offers. I'm sure he has his profile pulled up there. So
yeah, let me pull it up here real quick.
That's why you look at offers. Ah, I got some right here. Offers include Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Kentucky. That's just in the SEC. So, and surprisingly enough, this is a pretty quick commitment.
Yeah, he was just on campus this weekend.
First ever visit, too, and was sold well enough to where he goes ahead and he starts the week off by pulling the trigger on his commitment for the 2020 class here. I got his statement here, Cole, before I turn it over to you, our station recruiting expert, to get the lowdown on Mr. Green here. Here was Green's statement about committing today. He says, first, I would like to thank all my family and friends for supporting me and standing by my side throughout this long process. I would also like to thank all the coaches that took the time to recruit me. Most of all, I would want to thank God for the countless blessings he has sent me. Without his guidance, I don't know where I would be. Before I lost my mother, Loretta, she told me, in God's timing, my dreams will come true, and now it's here. The school of my choosing is a school that will help me grow on the field, but also off the field. At this time, I would like to announce I am 100% committed to the University of Tennessee.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear.
So, Cole, I'm going to turn it over to you here. This is Tennessee right now. We talked about this a little bit last week about how Tennessee, when it comes to the pure numbers of the 2020 class. Kind of behind the competition in the conference here. Art Green today makes it commitment number 7 in the 2020 class. But we did also talk about how May this month, and also, you know, kicking off leading into what could be a very busy summer on the trail for Jeremy Pruitt. Because, mm-hmm. you know, even if it's the off season, there's never really an off season for recruiting.
Yeah.
Besides your minor dead periods.
Yeah.
That's about the closest thing you get to that. It's a never-ending process here. This could be something that is a catalyst for a lot more commitments here. But tell us a little bit about Art Green and what Tennessee's getting here.
Yeah, Mr. Green, as Tanner said, a JUCO prospect out of Chesterfield, Missouri, over at Hutchinson Community College at the moment. He is a corner in the 2020 class, 6'2", 200 pounds. No rankings or crystal ball predictions. You don't really need the crystal ball predictions now. He has a lot of good offers, not from the biggest players out there, but definitely some top programs. We ran through them. I'll just name a few again. Of course, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, let's see, Missouri, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, South Carolina, Texas A&M, just to name a few. So he has big-time offers. The staff seems to really be high on him, even though, you know, he doesn't have a lot
rankings. What's the word here?
Yeah, he has no rankings.
Ain't got no stars, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul!
To be honest with you, I have not watched any of his film yet.
There's a nice little video that's posted. I think it's his Huddle film.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll have to go watch that. But he does become just the 7th commit in this 2020 class with the commitment of him. Tennessee didn't move up or down since he has no rankings. They are still 30th in the nation in the 2020 class, 10th in the SEC.
Yeah, you got to improve upon that.
You got some time to improve. Of course, Harrison Bailey is your top guy, and then they have Art as the at the very bottom just because he doesn't have those rankings. But if the staff likes him, hey, I like him too. So I'm looking forward to see what he's got. He looks to be the exact size defensive back Jeremy Pruitt's looking for. I mean, when you think of his defensive backs he's had at Florida State, Georgia, Alabama, they're all 6 foot plus. Art is right now 6'2", 200 pounds.
Definitely not short.
No, definitely not short. And you know he's going to pack on some size with Coach Fitz and company. So could be a diamond in the rough for Tennessee. We'll just have to wait and see.
This has been a pretty quick process here with Art Green and the Tennessee staff, but when it comes to this recruiting process here and how quickly that Art Green fell in love with the staff and vice versa here. So Tennessee first initially offered Mr. Green back at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been pretty quick, these wheels turning here. Art Green talked to a friend of the station, Dan Harrelson, in Volswire today. He said, "Me and my family love the staff as a person. My family is very important to me, and the coaches treated them like family instantly. They loved the visit, which I was happy to see. I love the environment at Tennessee. I really think it will be a great place to be for the next couple of years with the coaches there now." Some quick stats here in the 2018 season. Only played in 8 games for Hutchinson, but here's his numbers in 8 games. 19 tackles, 6 interceptions, and 6 pass breakups.
Yeah.
So already some good numbers right there.
Yeah.
And a limited supply of action here. As you already mentioned, Coley's from out of Chesterfield, Missouri. He played at Parkway Central High School. Originally out of high school, Cole, I don't know. Forgive me if I'm repeating what you said. Did you say that he originally committed to Arkansas State out of high school?
I did not. No.
Yeah, originally committed to Arkansas State out of high school. This was in June of 2017. However, he has obviously went the JUCO route, going to Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, right there, with Mr. Art Green. Cole, good pickup. I mean,
yeah.
All you gotta do is really, I go to the offer list first and foremost.
Sure.
I know a lot of people will want to do the star chasing. I like to look at the offer list. I like to see, okay, what's the caliber of these other programs that are as offering this person here, especially if you're talking about going the JUCO route, going after these players that may be the diamonds in the rough that are showing out camps over the offseason here. I like this right now.
I do too.
I like this from the fact that he's definitely got the size first and foremost. He seems like, you know, this is going to be your prototypical Pruitt secondary player.
Yeah. That's what he seems to be. And I'll also go ahead and mention, I didn't notice this earlier, but looking online now, it came to my attention. Coach Ansley, already paying dividends. Coach Ansley was his primary recruiter. He's on campus for 2 days, goes home, and commits to Tennessee. So coach is already earning that paycheck for the Vols.
Absolutely. That's what we really need to see out of Ansley first and foremost here. So like I told you, this is commitment number 7 right now for the class. Yeah, it's only 7 though.
Yeah, it's only 7.
Do you think, in your humble opinion, Cole, in your humble recruiting analysis opinion,
always,
do you think business might be about to pick up here? Do you think this is something that can be a catalyst? Is it too early to be concerned about how the recruiting business is going right now?
I'm kind of torn when it comes to that. Yes, I kind of think it is a little early. I mean, it is still it's the second week of May. I think it is still a little early, but I mean, you give it another two and a half, 3 weeks, you get into June and you're starting to be like, and if Tennessee's still at 7, you start to think, okay, come on, guys, what are we doing? And then you get through summer, and I know a lot of guys commit in the summer, later in the summer, before their season starts. But at the same time, you look back last year, May was a huge month for Tennessee. You would like to repeat that. So as it sits right now today, I am not too worried, but give it another week or two, and I might be starting to sweat.
Funny enough here, of course, he has no actual rankings on 247 on any of the composite or anything like that. 247 has him listed as the fourth highest commit right now.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. He is right behind Jordan Davis and right in front of Ebony Jackson, the running back commitment from Marietta.
Okay.
Harrison Bailey still remains the top commit right now. Four-star prospect ranked just outside the top 100 overall players in the country. Fifth overall pro-style quarterback. Mm. So Harrison Bailey is always going to be one of the jewels of this class here. You would like to have a couple more players rated highly than them.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Just so it looks good on paper once the class is complete by this time next February.
Yeah.
Go ahead, hit this break first and foremost here, because I told you there is some bad news a little bit on the recruiting trail here. Give you a little break to reset before we get into some of the negative here. And then we're going to kind of talk about, are we worried? I know, Cole, you already said that maybe a little too slightly early to press the panic button here. But I've seen some people getting concerned about are things going too slow?
Mm-hmm.
And not just when it comes to a recruiting trail, but when it comes to the program in general right now. So we're going to tell you what else happened for Tennessee on the recruiting trail when we come back here, get into a little bit more of that discussion before we open things up and move on to other topics as the show progresses here. We will be with you up until 8 o'clock per usual here. And our number to get on the Fan Run phone lines is 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You're listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio. We will be right back. Rolling along here on Overtime, told you there would be some not-so-pleasant news today on the Tennessee recruiting trail. Tennessee got, it was a bittersweet day. Bittersweet day for something that's always important here. Could have been a big, big day. If things would have went the right way here. Unfortunately, that's not always the case, especially when the reality of the situation here, Tennessee is still a program that's coming off a 5-7 season.
Yeah.
You're falling at 4-8 season. It's hard to get the really, 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 really big dogs to come to play for you. No pun intended here, speaking of a big dog here. Mm. Cole, you had mentioned him on an earlier recruiting report last week.
Yeah.
We knew the commitment was coming. We knew it didn't look all that great for the Vols here today. Top 40 prospect in the class of 2020, four-star offensive tackle, top 5 offensive tackle in the class of 2020. Tate Ratledge from Rome, Georgia, goes to the Darlington School, 6'6.5", 311.
Mm-hmm.
Huge human being.
He's very large.
Tate Ratledge, who, by the way, of course, he grew up a Tennessee fan.
Born in Chattanooga.
Yeah, it always seems to go like that, right?
Yeah, I mean,
we have better luck going after the people who didn't grow up as Tennessee fans. It almost always seems like.
Yeah, I mean, we get the kids who have no ties to the state and or school, and then those that you would think would be the saving grace, or at least a part of it, just don't want to be a part. I don't understand.
It's just the funniest thing, because, like, Trey Smith, now, I know he may or may not play again this year, though, but, like, when Trey Smith is playing, when Trey Smith is healthy, pretty good football player.
Yeah.
Trey Smith grew up an Alabama fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like you'd rather go after the lifelong Alabama fans at this point.
Sure.
Here. Never ends up well talking about – you can talk about T. Higgins. You can talk about Trevor Lawrence.
Cade Mays.
Oh, God. It's even worse with Cade Mays because his family actually did play for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same thing with Tate Ratledge. But Tate Ratledge commits to the Georgia Bulldogs.
Mm, of course.
Boo.
Of course.
Boo. Sam Pittman gets another one here.
Yeah.
You have anything to tell us about Tate Ratledge really quickly here? Because it didn't look like he was going to commit for Tennessee, but I was just annoyed today by it. More by the fact, of course, there's some video that goes around his dad peeling the Power T sticker.
Yeah.
Off his truck window.
Yeah.
Being very overdramatic. That's just great to see.
Very overdramatic. I mean, and I get it. You know, of course, people that are going to gripe about, you know, us talking about this. There's many people, you know, out in the Twitterverse talking about this already. You can support your son and still have a different team. You know, I know people say, well, that's his boy. He's going to support his son. He can't do that with a rival sticker on his truck. Yeah, whatever, okay? If you're a supposed lifelong fan of a school, of a team, and then your kid commits to a rival, I don't think you have to tear your sticker off. Wait, but look, he can do what he wants. Sure. I mean, it's America. He can do what he wants. But at the end of the day, come on, buddy. Come on.
I hate being further turned into meme material. That's the only thing I get just, like, annoyed about. It's the same thing when, Quay Walker threw the hat.
I saw that meme today.
What?
No. At least Tate didn't do that. At least he didn't do that. He didn't even touch it. At least he didn't do that.
Why can't he just commit and just everything just be over? We know Georgia football's good right now. We know where they're going to get good players. Nobody's shocked by that.
Yeah.
So not a perfect day on the trail for Tennessee.
No.
You still have this month, though, Justin Rogers.
A week from today.
Okay, that's a week from today. I thought it was at the very end of May, but 20th. I'm guessing like the 20th is near the end of May.
Yeah, the 20th.
Is it looking more positive for Justin Rogers?
I mean, Justin Rogers, Tennessee felt like they were, you know, in the driver's seat for him.
Then he got the Alabama.
Then he got the Alabama offer. And then for some reason, he went down to Lexington. And apparently now the rumor is the Wildcats are the favorite for the number one offensive guard in the country.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't either. Which
you can understand Alabama. You can understand Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, Kentucky? I mean, really?
The only thing that makes sense for me, because I have –
him getting immediate playing time maybe?
Well, that, yes. And then during my research online, I do my research.
We do our research. You do your research.
I do my research. The only thing that makes sense to me for him to go to Kentucky, if he actually does, is one, we know players always hold the first offer higher than most. Kentucky was his first offer. That doesn't mean they always go there, but, you know, it's your first offer. It's the first school that noticed you.
Sure.
Kind of the school that puts you on the map for all these other offers. So, you know, all these guys, they hold it higher than some. So that's one. And then two, apparently, I cannot remember the kid's name, but one of Kentucky's defensive linemen played at Oak Park in Michigan with Justin Rogers, and apparently they've been friends for a while, so he already knows somebody down there. And as you said, immediate playing time. He would be by far the highest-rated recruit in their class. But, I mean, we just have to wait and see. According to 247 Sports Crystal Ball Predictions, Kentucky is a landslide favorite for his services. 48% of the predictions to Kentucky. Tennessee is next at 19%, Ohio State at 14%, and then Georgia at 10%, and then undecided at 10%. So, you know, it could be anything. I'm still baffled by the Kentucky being the favorite. He is going to Georgia this weekend, though, so Georgia might be getting another big-time guy this time next week. I don't know. That would just be fantastic.
Just give me some positive news, please. Let's go over to the Fan Run phone lines here, 865-546-8200. We got Westchester on the line here. Westchester, happy Monday.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
I'm making it, man. What you got for us today?
Tanner, I agree with you on your. You said something about how you valued the offer list.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that's as important with a JC as it is with a kid out of high school. There's a lot of coaches that don't want a player for a year or two, right?
Yes.
So, I guess that's all I'm trying to say is that you don't. I love the offer list as far as kids right out of high school, but when you're a JC, I'm not sure that's the equal, is it?
It's probably not. It's definitely a lot different, and different staffs will probably have their different philosophies when it comes to coming after JUCO kids here. And JUCO, it's always going to be a big hit or miss, like all the time. You're basically flipping a coin when it comes to getting even the highest ranked JUCO type of prospects there, because you, me, and Cole, all three of us right now could probably count off, we can't even remember them, several JUCO prospects that have flamed out here. But on the other hand, hey, Hutchinson Community College, they have given you the likes of Alan Kamara. They have given you Cordero Patterson. So it can really be 50-50 when it comes to being productive or not.
It can, but it doesn't mean that you can recruit. It doesn't mean your coaching staff is going to recruit him because you can find a guy that can fill your coffers for a year or two. I mean, you got to count on four-year guys, don't you?
No, yeah, you definitely do. And just because you can do really good JUCO doesn't mean that you're overall great at recruiting in general, because it's nice to get. I think this is a good pickup today. Now, obviously, you have to wait to see what happens when he gets here to see if he's going to pan out or not. But right now, where it stands, we said several times here, Pruitt and the staff only have 7 commitments right now. You got your likes of the Alabamas and Georgias, which it's apples to oranges comparing Tennessee to those programs, but they got like twice the commits that you currently have right now. If you lose a prospect like Justin Rogers to Kentucky, that concerns me as well. This summer is going to really, it's going to depend on what the pace of the recruiting is this summer. And it may start telling you a lot about the staff's recruiting ability overall when it comes to the four-year guys out of high school.
If you want me to believe in the staff's recruiting ability, and this is not just football, this is basketball, this is baseball, and I'm not calling out the current baseball coach on this, or even the current football coach, or even the current basketball coach, but just going forward, based on our history, secure your borders. Seriously. I mean, Tennessee has overlooked, in baseball, has overlooked Farragut, which has won, oh my gosh, many of titles and state championships and all that stuff over the last years, because we had a former coach that said, we don't have to give these kids scholarships because the parents are going to want to watch them come play, so they want to stay at home. I mean, I'm not picking on Modelo, because this is not his fault, but I want to see our borders secured. I want Tennessee to become a state, a battleground state that people want to come to again. And I think it's possible. We don't have the best talent in the Southeast Conference by any chance, but we've got some talent. We've got some players, and we've got enough talent going to other schools that shouldn't be, that we need to learn to protect our borders. I mean, Clemson, whatever. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no open borders when it comes to in-state recruits, Westchester. No open borders. Close them.
Close the borders.
Build a wall.
Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
Appreciate it. Got curious and looked up current in-state recruits right now, just where it stands. Number one overall recruit, I think we touched on him several times here, Reggie Grimes, mm-hmm. Alabama.
I mean, they are the favorite. I wouldn't be shocked if
it's 100% right now when it comes to your crystal ball.
Well, it is. But I mean, yeah, if I had to put money on it right now, I'd probably pick Alabama. Sure, but to be honest with you, from what I've read online and what conversation I've had with sources that will not be named, it doesn't seem that they're the landslide. I think there's a reason he still has not committed to them. I mean, he's said on record. I saw an interview of his, I believe, a couple weeks ago now. It seems that, of course, Alabama has been coming at him. Tennessee and Vanderbilt also seem to be coming at him, which I would doubt he would go to Vandy. Everybody's coming at him hard, but from what I read and what I was told, even though he is an Alabama legacy, and even though, yes, that may be where he will go, He is holding off on it for now just because apparently they got in the game later than most. Tennessee was one of the first ones in there. Vanderbilt was one of the first ones in there. Mm-hmm. South Carolina as well. So maybe he's holding off, you know, just to see what everybody else has to offer. But yeah, if I had to put money on it, he'll probably be in Alabama. But you never know.
Your second rate prospect in the state of Tennessee in the class of 2020, Jay Hardy, Al McCauley. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned him a little bit. I think you're in good standing there for him.
Sure.
And he's certainly got the body type, man, for a strong side defensive end, 6'4", 270.
He does.
Right now, where it looks like the only 100% crystal ball projection in the state of Tennessee for the class of 2020 to the Vols. And you better forget securing your own borders. Just secure Knoxville first and foremost here. You got Tyler Barron, defensive end prospect, out of Catholic.
Yeah, you got him.
Top 160 here, 6'4.5", 255 right now.
Yeah.
So you definitely have a chance. And Cooper May, I'm looking at Cooper Mays and Elijah Young.
Yeah.
Both got 100% crystal ball projections to Tennessee. They have quickly rose through the rankings here when it comes to the in-state prospects. You're certainly in a position to finish a lot better in-state than you did last year.
Yeah. You know, I feel like every year we talk about Tennessee has to go out of state so much just because there's not so much talent in-state. In my opinion, and I'm not just going off the rankings here, but watching film and, you know, seeing what everybody, all the, you know, quote-unquote experts have to say about it all, there is a lot of in-state talent this year. You mentioned mm-hmm. Barron and Mays over at Catholic. Elijah Young, of course, T. Hodge over at Maryville. And then we just mentioned Reggie Grimes over in Mount Juliet. Then you have Keyshawn, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name. Safety out of Nashville as well, top five safety. And then Memphis, all the big boys. Chris Morris, a top five guard. Marcus Henderson, a top, I believe, 11 guard. And then Omari Thomas, a top five defensive tackle. So there is a lot of talent in-state this year. If you can just lock that down, as Westchester said, I think Tennessee could end up fine. It's just locking it down and getting these boys up here.
I'm trying to look at Keyshawn Lawrence.
Lawrence, yes.
Talking about Ensworth out there Ensworth, in Nashville, yeah. Top 100 mm-hmm. player in the class of 2020.
Top 10 safety. There's a lot of talent this year, a lot more than there usually is.
We'll lead this segment with this quick question here, and we'll move on after this, unless you want to call in 865-546-8200, discuss this further with us here. Because we spent the first 3 minutes really just talking about recruiting in general, and we haven't even gotten to the recruiting update yet.
Yeah.
Which I assume it's going to be a good one, right, Cole?
It's going to be a great one.
Okay.
It will.
That's coming up at 7 o'clock. Leave you with this segment with this one question, though. If this summer, this offseason, and hell, even going into the fall, is a little bit slower on picking up commitments than we expected, right now, is this just what you have to deal with the rest of your immediate competition, the SEC being just that much more better, that much more lucrative for recruits to go to, and the fact that Tennessee has had these recent struggles? Is that what you're just going to have to deal with until, hey, maybe Pruitt can have a slightly overachieving team this fall? Maybe Pruitt, where everybody is predicting 6-7 wins, yeah, Tennessee's going to get to a bowl game. And sure, that's nice to have progress. You always don't want to go backwards when you go into year two of a new coaching tenure. Let's just say Pruitt overachieves slightly, wins 8 regular season games. I know that's not the standard that we want to hold this program to.
This season it would be.
But if you go 8-4, though, let's just say, I don't want to get too crazy, but I mean, I'm not saying, I don't think we're going to go to the Swamp and win right now.
Yeah.
Definitely not beating Alabama on the road. Like you can throw that out of consideration here. Maybe you get a much-needed win against the Mississippi States.
Sure.
You reclaim what you're supposed to do. You take care of South Carolina.
Sure.
You take care of course, Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. I don't know. Let's just say, maybe Pruitt does something crazy. Now, I'm just saying it's crazy. Maybe Pruitt beats Georgia. Maybe it's something crazy like that that sparks an overachieving season. And then that's where you see the floodgates start to open when it comes to getting these more elite prospects that you probably wouldn't have a good shot of right now.
Yeah.
Are you going to have to win first to reset this trend here?
I think so. I mean, because we see a lot of these top guys out here, you know, they release their top 5, top 10 lists, and Tennessee seems to be in most of them. I think the hesitation with not committing to Tennessee comes with, like you said, we haven't won a lot in the last couple of years. Yep. Why would a top recruit want to come here and just not even make a bowl, just have an average season, go to an average bowl? I mean, these are top athletes in the country. They want to compete for championships, and Tennessee's not in the place right now to win. So, yeah, if Coach Pruitt and company can have a pretty decent season, I think you will start seeing them. And what you just mentioned about beating Georgia, I don't think that's the same as saying, oh, Tennessee's going to beat Alabama. Georgia has lost their defensive and offensive coordinator this year. They have new systems coming. They're coming to Knoxville. And look at the history of the Tennessee-Georgia series. It doesn't matter who's good and who's bad. It's usually pretty close. And as we know, Coach Pruitt absolutely hates Georgia. So that could be an interesting game.
There's an opportunity there.
There is.
We're going to have to see what type of squads both programs possess once that meeting comes along. Tennessee, obviously, you have to go to the Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to overlook BYU, who's coming
yeah.
for the first like actual big home game there.
You got to get that one first.
And prove you can be a team like that. You don't look like total crap against Florida. Then we can think about something
sure.
like that happening. I'm just saying it may be something like that to prove that you can beat the expectations.
Yeah.
To get some people really interested.
I mean, in my opinion, I think 8 wins is a little far-fetched. But if they get that 8 wins, I think the floodgates are going to open. I think it's going to be huge.
That's probably what it's going to have to take.
Yeah.
865-546-8200. 546-8200. Moving on to some other non-recruiting-centric topics here. On the other side here, more overtime as we roll along. Stay with us. We are back here on Overtime, rolling along here in hour number one of the program. The Voltellos, Cole McCormick. The Voltellos this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Get a much needed series win at the dreaded Florida Gators.
Yeah.
Boo. After a complete come apart from the bullpen on Friday in game one, Tennessee blew what was it? A 9-2 lead, I do believe, or was it like 8-0? What was the lead Tennessee blew
against Missouri?
No, against Florida.
Oh, I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
It was a big lead. Hold on, I got it right here. Let's see here. Yeah, 9-2. Had 9-2 lead at one point.
Wow.
Florida comes back to win 10-9. However, the drama wasn't over there when it comes to the series. Tennessee wins Saturday and Sunday to take the series 8-7 on Saturday, and then 5-4 yesterday.
Let's go.
Tightly contested contest, but the number 24 Vols and then number 24 ranked Vols. Did you see where Tennessee fell out of the USA Today rankings despite winning a road conference series?
Of course. I mean, USA Today doesn't know what they're doing.
Dumb. But Tennessee holds on Saturday and Sunday. Much needed series win at Florida. The Vols right now, where it currently sets the rest of this regular season. The Voltellos will be back on the diamond again tomorrow night for a tune-up game against Tennessee Tech for the last little non-conference regular season game of the season. And then, starting on Thursday instead of Friday, it will be the last regular season SEC series against Ole Miss.
Mm.
Number 15, Ole Miss. So it never gets any easier. Never gets any easier right now. But Tennessee with another good position here to win that series against the top 15 team. Further solidify a better standing when it comes to going to Hoover for the SEC tournament and further solidifying NCAA tournament hopes. Cole.
Yeah.
What about the Voltellos this weekend?
Big series win. I was glad when they won Saturday. You know, I was like, well, at least they got one. At least they're not getting swept. And then Sunday, out of nowhere, You know, in a way, I totally forgot that they were playing. I totally forgot.
You forgot?
Yeah, I didn't see anything until...
How do you forget about the Vaultellas?
I don't know. I didn't see anything until I saw the final, and I was like, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was shocked they got the series win, which, granted, Florida is not as dominant as they have been in recent years. But, hey, a series win over Florida, no matter the sport, a win over Florida, period,
on
no
the
matter
road.
The sport. On the road, down in Gainesville, the nasty swamp that is. I'll take it every time.
Guess how many road games Tennessee won all of last year? That was yesterday was road win number 7. Mm-hmm. So Tennessee 7-9 on the road. You know, not great, but this is SEC baseball. You know, you'll take 7-9 sometimes. You'll take being just under 500.
Sure.
So 7 road wins Tennessee is going to finish the regular season with, because your next 4 games are going to be at home. Guess how many road wins Tennessee had last season?
Oh, 4?
Lower.
3.
It was 3.
Okay.
The Dale Earnhardt. Three road wins, man. This Tennessee baseball team, I still think they're a year ahead of schedule.
I'd agree.
I don't think people really expected, you know, them to be this good. Certainly, you wanted some incremental improvements.
Sure.
But Tony Vitello's got this team in pretty good position to definitely make the NCAA tournament.
He does. I mean, they haven't made the NCAA tournament since 2016, year 2 of the Vitello reign. He's already got them back. A lot of young talent on this year's team. You know, the past couple of years, it seems all the playmakers and studs on the team were always upperclassmen. Mm-hmm. But now the majority of your squad, the majority of your playmakers are, you know, sophomore and juniors.
Yep.
It's a good feeling. You know, the next couple of years could be pretty special. I'm here to watch it, and I can't wait to see how far they can go.
Tennessee currently right now in the SEC East, sitting at 4th place right now. It looks like just a game or two back, man. I wish you could have got that series back against Missouri, because you're right behind Missouri right now. Tennessee sets at 12-15 overall in the conference play. I told you Missouri's right ahead of them at 3rd place, and then your top 2 in the East. You got Georgia at 2nd, 2 games behind the Vandy boys.
Ugh.
You're 41-10 overall. They seem to have overcome that slow start to their season here.
Yeah.
Vandy leads the entire conference when it comes to some overall record here. Arkansas leads the West right now, right in front of Mississippi State. Ole Miss, who's coming into town, is 3rd in the West. They set 15-12 overall in SEC play.
Okay.
I think if, because barring something stupid tomorrow, Tennessee's obviously going to take care of Tennessee Tech for your last little tune-up. Tennessee's definitely getting one against Ole Miss.
Sure.
I feel pretty confident saying they're not going to get swept at home for the last series of the regular season.
Yeah.
And I think they're at least going to have a decent enough showing in Hoover. I think they're going to make the NCAA tournament.
I'd agree.
Do you have any concerns that this could go bad near the end here? Because I think... You can bounce back from that devastating game 1 against Florida, and you can hold on to win 2 road games and conference play like you did. That's a huge confidence booster.
Oh, yeah.
This team's definitely feeling very confident right now.
They are.
So you see anything unforeseen happening right now?
I mean, not really. I mean, other than that game 3 against Missouri, you know, last weekend, 2 weekends ago now, you haven't really seen the wheels come off. You haven't really seen them kind of blow that kind of lead, which I know they kind of did game 1 against Florida, sure. But other than that, I mean, they stay pretty consistent. They've had a lot of games where they've come from behind to win for the most part, except for a couple of games. When they've had a lead, they've kept it for the most part. I don't think, you know, Coach Vitello and staff are really going to let that happen. I feel like they're seasoned enough. They've been here enough. I mean, Vitello was down at Arkansas for their heyday, and now look, you know, how they are after he's gone. So he knows what he's doing. I'm sure he knows what to tell the boys. So, I mean, unless some team just absolutely catches fire and Tennessee plays them, you know, at the worst possible time, you know, we'll go back to basketball season. If we play the Purdue of baseball this year.
Let's hope not.
Maybe then. But other than that, I mean, I think this team's hot. I mean, you're coming off a series win down in Gainesville. I think they're riding high on the confidence. Going into this weekend playing Ole Miss, I think a series win would go very far as well. So, yeah, as of right now, no, I think they're going to do fine in the SEC tournament. I don't think they'll win it, I think they'll do fine, though. Then I think they'll do very well in the NCAA tournament.
Real quick, though, about these baseball polls. Man, all these baseball polls are so stupid.
They really are. There's like
Tennessee's fallen out of the top 25 in some of these. However, Tennessee's moved up four spots in the National College Baseball Writers poll here.
Why is there
moved up to 23?
Why is there 10? I don't understand it.
I don't know. If you want to talk about NCAA hopes here and how secure Tennessee is, Tennessee's still in the top 10 of the RPI. Tennessee solidly at 10th place.
But not in the top 25 in some polls.
Polls are dumb.
It's so stupid.
Polls are dumb. Do you want me to give you like the quick top 10 of like the USA Today poll?
Sure.
Which is why I assume it's just like most people's barometer before we hit this next break. So Vandy's number one in the new USA Today. I'm sorry, that's D1 baseball. I thought I clicked on. Yeah, I did. Oh. What? Okay, that's weird. They're using an old poll. So let's just use D1 baseball here. This is a recent one here. UCLA number one, Vanderbilt two, Stanford three, Arkansas four, Mississippi State fifth, Georgia Tech six, Georgia seventh. It's a neck and neck right here. How about this? East Carolina at eighth.
Wow.
In your top 15 or 14th, you got UC Santa Barbara. I love looking at baseball polls sometimes. Just the most random schools that are good at baseball.
Yeah.
That does it there. When we come back here to wrap up hour number one, we are going to give you our best and worst of this past weekend here. Me and Cole will give you what we liked and what we definitely did not like from the previous weekend. 865-546-8200 to call in here. Back to wrap up hour number one of the show after this. All right, wrapping up the first hour of the show here. About to get over to our best and worst of the weekend here. Me and Cole's going to give you what we liked and what we hated about the weekend here. Usually do this near the start of the show, but we had such an enthusiastic discussion about are we freaking out about Jeremy Pruitt's recruiting or not, and the day that was today, and the near future to come for Tennessee football recruiting here. But without further ado, let's get to it right now, Cole. Best and worst of the weekend. Is someone getting the best?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Cole McCormick, go first.
Okay. Let's see here. Best of the weekend for me. We just talked about it. The Fighting Voltellos going down to Gainesville, slaying the Gators, getting the series win, two big-time wins on the road, a bunch of confidence for the Fighting Vols on the baseball diamond. You love to see it. You love to beat Florida when you can, no matter the sport. So that by far was the best for me. Worst for me, you know, I really had to dig for this, so I'll just go with this one because I – don't know a lot about him, if I'm going to be honest, but I don't know if that's a good thing for the job he just got. The Lakers hiring Frank Vogel.
Yes, it did. Found their guy.
Like I just said, I have no idea who he really is. I have admitted many times on the program that I'm not a huge NBA guy. But with a storied program like the LA Lakers, you would think they would go get a, you know, somewhat big name guy, but they go get Frank Vogel. I'm sure he, you know, he carries weight maybe in the NBA circles. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask John Reed about that. He is the local NBA freak along with Chance Collins. But yeah, I saw that. And my first reaction was, who's that? And then my next reaction was, that may not be good for the Lakers. So, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to the NBA. But a storied franchise like that with one of the best players in the league, if not the best, according to some. You know, it's, I don't know. I thought it was very strange. So that's definitely the worst for me.
My best of the weekend, I was going to have Tennessee getting a much-needed road series win over the Gators. I'm going to change that quickly, though. Man, last night, the drama in Toronto. Kawhi Leonard with maybe one of the shots of the entire NBA playoffs history. No, it's not maybe, it is. A buzzer beater winner to win a game 7 against the Sixers. It's that fadeaway shot from the corner. Takes about 4 or 5 bounces and just falls in.
Yeah.
The Raptors on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Man, oh, man. There's so much drama. Not really ever seen a game-winning shot like that.
It was insane. It really was.
It was great to watch that live on my phone on mute while I was also watching Game of Thrones. So I have a lot of drama going on at the same time. Speaking of Game of Thrones, brings me to my worst of the weekend. No, I'm not going to complain about last night's episode, the penultimate episode for the entire Game of Thrones series. Did I have my problems with it? Sure. I don't know how many people thought it was a perfect episode last night. My worst is all just the flaming hot crap takes.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the former pro Daenerys Targaryen people. It had been hinted at for years that she had some psycho hidden inside her. Her father was the Mad King for a reason. She just had advisors and people who she trusted to talk her out of doing anything crazy while she was being held as a hero for years and years and years. Well, it finally came to a head last night when she didn't have anybody to really stop her. Turns out she's a genocidal maniac. Yeah, people should have seen it coming. That does it for hour number one of Overtime. Hour number two is coming up on the other side. Stick with us. Hiding in a hiding place where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes. It's a little...